Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
I think I'm cute. I got gold medals. I've got the moves that makes them all tap out. The angle slam, the ankle lock. Marty Jannetty still can't walk. I'm just a sexy Kurt. Sexy Kurt. I'll make your ankle hurt. Ankle hurt. I'm just a sexy Kurt. Sexy Kurt. I'll make your ankle hurt. Ankle hurt. That's right, Sean. Eat your heart out. Hands off the merchandise. Woo! How was that?
I was about ready to tap out myself. Not gonna lie, that was so, we do not have a singing career. That's for sure. We'll stick to our shoot jobs,
dude. When he first did that, I'm like, oh my god, this is so good. It was, and then he did it at the Hall of Fame. But I mean,
the song itself, just, yes, absolutely fantastic. Yes,
just such good, dude. The build to this, you know, look, a short build that came out of absolutely nowhere because there was, you know, they were on different brands, didn't need to have an issue, but came out of nowhere. The build up to this thing, just the stuff that they did, off the charts, classic match. I am so pumped to cover this one. What about you?
Yeah, this is one, you know, it's just, we covered a Kurt Angle match earlier, but you know what, this one just totally different, like, you know, just, you know, kind of what we're getting ourselves into and stuff like that. And that was the, you know, against Brock, and to kind of have this though, like, yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm just excited to get into this one. It's kind of an era where I wasn't watching a whole lot too. And so to kind of be covering a match for that time and talking about it, doing, you know, just the background on it, it's exciting for me. So yeah, I'm excited.
Well, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, man. This was a heavily themed WrestleMania. WrestleMania goes Hollywood. So yep. The vignettes leading up to the show, the promotional materials during the show, a bunch of stuff around kind of Hollywood, the entrances and stuff. Didn't love it. Thought it was kind of hokey and cheesy. And it's like, all right, you want people to think these are like athletes competing and that there are things at stake, but then we're fakers that are faking things from Hollywood. It was kind of stupid for me. I was not a fan. And I'm glad they really haven't done anything quite like this again. But April 3rd, 2005, Staples Center in LA, big buy rate, over a million people. The pre-match was Booker T winning a 30-man interpromotional battle royal, last eliminating friend of the Payoff, Chris Masters, who we watched this with, and we'll have to air that episode or a bonus episode. But that was a fun little battle royal, and it was fun watching it with him. Show starts off with Rey Mysterio defeating Eddie Guerrero in a 12-minute single match. Obviously, a great way to start the show, but man, a year ago, Eddie Guerrero is your champion. Now he's in the opening match. Then we get the Money in the Bank ladder match, 15 minutes. Edge is going to defeat Benoit, Jericho, Christian, Kane, and Shelton Benjamin. I liked these Money in the Bank ladder matches being part of WrestleMania because it was just, you know, it was a good excuse to get six or eight guys on there. You get some good spots, something at stake, kind of putting over a new guy. I always enjoyed it. So I like when they do the ladder match.
And this was a good ladder match too.
Yeah, it was a very good one. And I mean, look who's in it too. But I guess they've done some IC title ladder match now that they don't do the Money in the Bank. But I like having a big ladder match at WrestleMania. Well,
or it's the Andre the Giant on the pre-show. Yeah.
Yeah. The Undertaker defeating Randy Orton, just a straight up good 14-minute match. Those guys had a long feud. There was a really good doc on the network. I forgot just how many times these guys wrestled, but a really, really good feud. Trish Stratus, your women's champion, defeating Christy Hemme in 4 minutes. You know, no matter how good Trish was in the ring, I mean, you still needed dance partners for her, and, you know, they just didn't have a lot of female talent. Then, you know, there weren't a lot of matches on this show, by the way. Then we get Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels. They go 27 minutes. Guess what they followed this up with? They followed up with that Big Show sumo match where he was in a sumo match against Akebono, I believe is how you pronounce it. Won a full minute. Then we finish off this show with two world title matches. Nothing wrong with that. I like it. I mean, of course, following Angle and Shawn on this show was just borderline impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we get our first world title match, which was John Cena defeating John Bradshaw Layfield. Cena's a champion, you know, crowned the world champion, 11 minutes. There was no doubt as to how that match was getting booked. Cena's your champion. And then remember the big Batista angle where he turns on Triple H, turns on Evolution. Batista's going to defeat Triple H for the world title in 21 minutes. Mm. But no doubt what the best match on this show was.
Yeah, not absolutely.
Even close. Not even close. So a lot to talk about during the match, and we'll have plenty of time. But I know it was a short build, but again, how did we get to this match? Because everything they did was awesome from what I remember.
Yeah, I actually don't like this is probably one of the I say shorter build notes that I've had to write. And so just kind of interesting. But so you had Royal Rumble just a couple months before WrestleMania here. You had Kurt Angle attacking Shawn Michaels after Michaels eliminated him from the Royal Rumble. He gave him an ankle lock on the outside, just kind of, you know, going at it and stuff like that. And so the next month after that, then you have No Way Out. Angle actually ended up losing the number one contender match to John Cena, which is how John Cena ended up in the main event. You kind of wonder here what would have happened if they had, I always wonder, like, if they had done like John versus Shawn, and then you had Angle versus, like, yeah, it just, you know, JBL, who knows. But luckily we didn't have that and have to deal with that. So, but losing that spot in Mania, so, but, you know, he lost that match. And then it was on Raw. Then Michaels told, who was general manager at the time, Teddy Long, that he was challenging Angle to a match at WrestleMania, kind of going back to that Royal Rumble kind of animosity and what they were dealing with there. And so yeah, Michaels, though, this kind of played out like over on TV, though. You had Michaels defeating Edge. It was actually a street fight on an episode of Raw, but then Angle attacking Michaels, and that's when he accepted his challenge. And so now it was interesting because, and something I should have said at the start here, Angle was a SmackDown wrestler and Michaels was a Raw wrestler. So you had a little bit of crossover here and stuff like this as this was kind of playing out and things like that. So yeah, the Michaels Edge fight took place on Raw. And so Angle came over and attacked Michaels and accepted the challenge there. But then on SmackDown, Shawn Michaels, you know, attacked Kurt Angle and they brawled and they had to deal with that. And so, you know, what it boiled down to was the Angle was claiming that he was better than Michaels. He said he would, you know, he could do everything that Michaels did, that, but he would do it faster. And so how this, interesting how it played out, kind of going back down memory lane on some of this stuff, you know, that he was won a ladder match and, you know, kind of mocking Michaels in the win from WrestleMania 10. And then, you know, beating and challenging and beating Marty Jannetty, of course, Michaels' former tag partner, getting Jannetty to tap out on that one. And then Angle also, and this is where, you know, Tom's beautiful singing voice comes into play here. You know, Angle getting the Sensational Sherry to do a spoof of Michael's theme song, of course, as we all know, you know, titled Sexy Boy, but, you know, now singing Sexy Kurt. And so have that. But then you also had Michaels showing a video of his accomplishment. Sherry, for her troubles, got put in the ankle lock as well, too. And then just before the go home show, and this will come into play after in the aftermath, which it's not really a big deal, but Angle's interfered in a Michaels match he was having against Muhammad Hassan, which was on the go home show before WrestleMania. And so Michaels ended up beating him DQ, but we'll get into that after. But the bigger piece of this here was, of course, like Angle and Michaels, you know, it really just a couple months. It started at Royal Rumble. There was, a lot happened in that time. It feels like, you know, kind of almost every week there was something happening to move this story forward, be it the ladder match or, you know, Marty Jannetty or the Sensational Sherry stuff. Like, there was always something going on to move this one forward because there's only so many weeks that you can do stuff. But that's how we got here. Now, short build.
Short build, effective build, everything they did counted. It was great. There was some nostalgia, a lot of fun. So we got a long match, so let's jump into this one. We are at the 1 hour and 41 minute mark of WrestleMania 21. 1 hour, 41 minute mark. Jaffa, you're right.
I'm almost ready here. We're trying. You got a quick thought here. My network crashed on me here, so you just got a quick thought. This never happens. I apologize to our listeners, but yes, you got to.
I got a quick thought. Kurt Angle's entire return to the WWE sucked, and I hated it, and I can't believe how poorly they used him in that spot. No different than I can't believe how poorly they used Sting too. I don't know why it's so difficult to book people that are legends and are super entertaining and the fans love. I don't know why it's so difficult.
And I'm getting to our timestamp right now, 1:17 for those that need it. And so
1:41. Yeah,
excuse me, 1:41. This is how much attention I pay on my own show. And something we have not said as I'm getting there right now, it's WrestleMania week. Like we got TakeOver this week. We got, you know, WrestleMania this week. We got a lot happening. And at this point too, like when we're recording this, Tom and I don't know if Kurt is the secret AEW signee. And so, there is, you know, debuting at Revolution. And so, that seems to be the bettor's favorite here, at least at the payoff, but we will have to see what happens. But yeah, so I'm now
wrong.
I am now officially ready. I apologize for taking a few minutes here, but I am at 1:41 of WrestleMania 21 on the WWE Network, ready to go, my friend.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
I mean, Michael's looking serious. Angle looking as tense as hell. This is my favorite version of Kurt Angle. He's just serious, dude.
Both guys serious.
You know, Sean legitimately walked up to him in the lead up to this match and said, you know, I'm not scared of you.
I'm not surprised. Now, you've probably got a little bit of insight on this because we all know we've been, you know, I'm behind on Kurt's podcast. And so do you have any kind of quick thoughts for you want to get into it now in regards to what he said about this match or just kind of, you know, what did you take away from that podcast?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Angle said, he's like, dude, Shawn Michaels is the best in-ring worker of all time. I know that's not a shock to most people, but, you know, he's just like, this guy's great. He's like, I remember I wasn't a fan of wrestling growing up. I certainly wasn't a fan, you know, when I was training for the Olympics. But, you know, I saw this guy wrestle, you know, not much before this match. And I'm like, this guy's absolutely off the charts, unbelievable. So a lot of respect for Shawn Michaels, you know, as a performer, say he's the best of all time. You know, obviously they talk through some pieces of this match, but it's not like they laid out every move. So a lot of this is just Shawn calling it in the ring. I'll tell you probably the thing that I thought was most interesting from the podcast was, you know, I think Conrad had asked something along the lines of, you know, who told you that you were going over? And Kurt said, oh no, it was up to us. Vince said, hey, you guys figure out who should go over.
Interesting.
And Sean immediately said, I'm tapping out to the ankle lock.
It's just, you know, that almost, I almost don't believe it. You know, it just feels like how much of it's planned out, like, you know, and especially at a WrestleMania, like Vince just kind of saying, go have a match. Like, let's see what happens type thing. You know, the card was, I say too, the card was short as well too. Now, like they had a lot of time on this one, which we'll talk about in the aftermath, like, which is why they were able to go as long as they were too. And to your point, yeah, like Kurt has said before, his Mount Rushmore, I looked it up real fast. It was Shawn, The Rock, Ric Flair, and Stone Cold. And he's also added Hogan and Taker to that and Cena as well. But over the year, or like years since he said that. But yeah, that Shawn, like you said, it was on, at least when he first said it, was on his mountain. Yeah.
They start this one off very interestingly with like some mat wrestling and stuff. It's probably not what you would have expected, certainly out of Shawn Michaels, but it's fun to watch.
Well, and it's interesting too, because we've been watching, I say, a lot of matches that, and you and I say, like, out of the gate fast and, like, you know, just strong styles type stuff. And like, and this is in a few weeks, this match is, we're slowing it down a little bit. Like, you know, like you said, the rest holds, just a quick slam and stuff like that. Like, you know, Kurt using some of his, you know, wrestling, wrestling skills. Matt wrestling skills. So yeah, just interesting to see that, especially the last few weeks where we jump right in.
Yeah, you mentioned something about how this was a cross promotional match, and I don't know about you, but I miss when it actually meant something for them to do that. Like, you know, and they kept them off, you know, each other's shows except for some attacks. But, you know, these two had never wrestled before. They'd never really interacted with each other. And then, you know, they were able to do the build on separate shows. I mean, it just made all the sense in the world to me. And it's like, you know, why get away from having those distinctive brands and, you know, maybe every once in a while doing a great interpromotional match of two guys that just have never touched.
Well, and it goes back to, like, you've said it over the last couple of weeks and just over the course of us doing this show, like, why are they overcomplicating so much? Like, just like, you know, oh, like, the, you know, the three wrestler rule and, like, you know, only three wrestlers can cross over on a show every week. It's like, why are you complicating it? Like, you know, you got your two shows. Like, we're probably due for another draft here, like after Mania at some point. Ugh. Like, yeah, right. And so, like, kind of dealing with that, but they got some people, they have no fucking clue how to use them. Like, you know, they'll start them hot and then they're just cold and we don't see them for months on end. Like, you know, it makes, like, so much of it makes no sense of just, like, the short-term planning and stuff like that. And, you know, but when we're recording versus when this airs, like, you know, how many times are we going to see, you know, the card change or, you know, no idea what's happening and things like that. Like, it just, it's tough almost sometimes, like, you know, why is it so complicated? I say, why is it so complicated to put a story of a wrestling show together? Like, yeah, we can armchair it from here pretty easy, but, you know, it feels like it shouldn't be as complicated as it is, at least.
I don't disagree.
So
don't disagree.
We're still in kind of some mat holds here. You got Sean working over Kurt, though. He's had him on the arm. He's had him in a headlock for, you know, quite a while here, just kind of. They've really been on the mat for almost the entire match.
Well, that's what I said. I mean, it was just, it's all mat wrestling so far. I mean, we're constant, now about 5 minutes into the match, almost 6 minutes into the match.
The ref kind of counting three counts as the shoulder goes down, but right away, like, Kurt kind of rolling over it and stuff like that and kind of getting in position. There you go, rolling over again. Like, you know, here we go. You're going to try and pick up Michaels, it looks like, trying.
He said this is the only thing they practiced in advance because he wasn't sure if he could do it.
And this was he picked him up and then kind of, yep, spun him down into a roll up, which is interesting. Like, that is like, you know, that's the thing. It's almost hard sometimes. Like, you and I went to the Performance Center, but thinking of, like, these two guys after the career they had, saying, yeah, we need to practice this. Like, part of it's, you know, dedication to the craft, I'm sure, but, like, it just feels weird. Like, yeah, like, they're going to have limitations too, but, like that one move, and now we're right back into some rest holds on the mat and stuff like that.
What's your favorite Kurt Angle match of all time?
Oh boy. That, if I, you know what, that, I was just going to, so, well, I'm going to think about it, but, like, you talk a little about, like, Kurt's most recent run. Let's do that first while I'm going to look up some Kurt matches and refresh my brain here.
So I mentioned it before, but I can't understand how they can't use some of these guys better. You know, how difficult is it to use Kurt Angle effectively? How difficult is it to use Sting effectively? I think they've done a decent job with Goldberg. That's one of the things I find ironic is, you know, Goldberg, who is not their creation, who is very limited in what he can do in the ring. And it's like, there's always a place for Goldberg. Goldberg always goes over. He's had a couple world title runs. He's been in a bunch of main events and he only wrestles two or three matches a year. why it's so easy for them to do so much with Goldberg, yet they can't figure out how to do that with Kurt Angle. They couldn't figure out how to do it with Sting. It's really surprising. Even Chris Jericho, they really underused him on some of his runs. Fandango, for instance. I just don't know why they struggle with it so much. And I don't know if it's too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they were just pissed off at Kurt Angle because of the way he left and some of the issues he had, or they couldn't trust him. And I know he was a little limited in the ring this run, but it's not like the guy was, you know, that bad or, you know, that slow or, you know, that out of shape. I mean, there was still plenty they could do with him. So, Angle slam, maybe. Oh, he just runs him into the post instead. Brutal.
I don't think I have necessarily like a favorite Kurt Angle match. Like, you know, I of course remember like, you know, some of the storyline things he did, of course the milk truck and all that. I kind of looked up real quick and it's one we actually don't have on our list. I feel like every week we say this, but one we're going to have to add to our list. This list I'm looking at is his number one match was the Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit Royal Rumble 2003. That's where they have as his best match. And they actually have this match then ranked as number two. And then one we've talked about this was not the match we talked about, but we have it on our list was the kind of the rematch, the Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar 60-minute Iron Man match from SmackDown. And so, and then a couple other here, the Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit versus Edge and Rey Mysterio, that was No Mercy 2002. And then Vengeance 2002, Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker versus The Rock. And so he said it almost funny to, you know, the different matches that he's had with different people. And so then six, he had Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero, which is WrestleMania 20, Kurt Angle versus Stone Cold, SummerSlam 2001. And then the most recent one they include was the Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon from Mania 24, which was just 3 years ago.
So there
ago?
You go. There yeah. you go. That's how you use Angle. That one was fun. I thought that was a very good match. I thought it was entertaining. I really enjoyed that one a lot.
And that way, and Ronda was the best one in the ring. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, and kind of and working that. But that's when, yeah, if like putting over, and then they have Kurt and Shane McMahon as well, too, which we've talked about, and you know, the famous glass shatter.
Remember, and remember Angle's actual first match back during that run when he was with the Shield?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it was so odd because I can't remember if a couple guys got hurt or a couple guys couldn't make it because of travel issues. I don't remember what it was, but it was like a B pay-per-view. It wasn't Survivor Series, but it was one of the fall pay-per-views, okay? And like a Vengeance or something, I don't know. And the a couple guys were missing. So they did that like, was it Finn Balor and Seth Rollins? They did some kind of like out of nowhere randomly like dream match type. It might have been Balor and AJ Styles.
It was Balor and AJ, yeah.
Okay, so they did that out of nowhere and I'm like, oh, okay, that's a nice thing for the fans. But then Reigns was hurt or whatever and couldn't make it, and then Angle came in and I'm just like, what? Like, you're on the network now, you're not trying to sell pay-per-views. Like, you like, it's just weird how like some things they get so worried about upsetting the fans, and then other times they just don't give a shit. I'm like, why rush Kurt Angle's return back for something that makes zero sense, and he's going to look like a dumbass coming out in a black vest? It was just, I don't know. It was just so disappointing. I just don't know why they did that.
Well, and of course, like you and I were talking about just before we started this, like his, you know, his son, Jason Jordan, like I don't understand why they don't pair that up with like Chad Gable, and he could have been with Chad Gable. Chad Gable has the same wrestling background that Kurt has, like, you know, not the Olympian, but, you know, still a wrestling background. Like that's where Jason Jordan was, like Indiana, you know, went to Indiana, you know, just down the street, stuff like that for me. And so, you know, kind of, you know, that like the sun angle, like that, you know, yes, a lot of people didn't like that one, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not totally shitting on that one because like that's like a storyline like that, like give me a little crazy in my wrestling and I'm okay with that. Like, and that would have worked. So like, if that was the angle that we were going to go with, not, you know, I say angle, if that was the storyline that they wanted to go down and tell, I'm okay with that actually, because while it's weird, like it does work too for me. Like, you know, sometimes you just need, like, if we can believe in the Fiend and like, Alexa can make, you know, Randy Orton spit up blood or whatever it is. Like, we can believe that, like, hey, Kurt Angle, yeah, he's got a son, and he played it up so well on social media. Like, you could tell that Kurt loved it because he was constantly tweeting about his son. So I don't get it. And so, you know, he's another one, like, he buys into his characters and it just works. Like, but then you get other situations where, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. So these guys, we had a little action outside of the ring. They're still kind of going at it. You got Michael sitting on the top rope, kind of Kurt getting pushed off. But these guys, I say these guys are just starting to get cooking. You got the Michael's up on the top rope now, standing up, everybody on their feet as well, getting ready
really
for
good
it.
Crowd.
Ooh, and Mike and Angle rolling out of the way. Yep.
There's some great HBK pants, by the way. Just love the classic black, red, and white.
And that was, I always say, one of the reviews.
Right, their angle strap coming down.
One of the reviews I was reading said, like, it's unusual to watch Michaels wrestle in the chaps. Like, okay. I just kind of went with it. So straps down, but Kurt, ooh, huge bump to the outside.
I know I say it, but like, how those guys don't get hurt more doing that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Crazy. That, like, those bumps, especially those ones where they rip it on the outside, like, it just looks so painful sometimes. Like, I can't imagine. Yeah.
All right. So Sean on the top rope, boom, hits a cross body. I don't know why, but I like that. Nice cross body there. Both guys out. I mean, just a great match. They went about three or four minutes over their allotted time on this one.
They went over, but I think that they were okay with it because, like, the card was a little short at this point too. And so, yeah, even as the total, we're like looking at like kind of pay-per-view, we're shy of 4 hours for all of this. And so these guys going a little long was okay.
Oh, here we go. This is such a good spot right here. So Angle's trying to hit the suplex off the apron. HBK's holding on. I mean, you've never seen anything quite like this before, but trying to hit the German off the, you know, off the apron.
Torquing back. Yeah.
I mean, look how stiff this is. I mean, this isn't like, I mean, this is like the stiffest, you know, you can do that basically. So Sean is able to break it. I mean, what a cool spot that was. Do you think having a SmackDown ref instead of a Raw ref helped Angle?
I'd say it was maybe 60-40, you know, helped him out a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder if they flip a coin on that. All right, so Sean was able to buy himself some time, kicks down Angle. He's still in the ring. Angle's on the floor.
With kind of the low blow, if you will.
Oh, from the win. Kicks off Angle onto the table. Moonsault onto Angle. Table doesn't break.
No, but kind of rolled, sold it well, though. Either way, it's all right.
Brutal. Brutal. All right, both guys are out on the floor. I got one for you. The Marty Jannetty-Kurt Angle match. Okay, so obviously the theme of this is Kurt Angle says, I can do everything you've done. So Marty comes out, and they, you know, Kurt Angle and Marty Jannetty. I mean, Marty hadn't been on TV in years. Had a really, really good match. And it wasn't the only time that Marty came back. He had a match with Miz a couple other times over the years. But you forget, Marty Jannetty was an excellent in-ring worker. If he had his, you know, wits about him a little bit more, he was every bit the in-ring worker, or close, at least, to Shawn Michaels. But obviously, the character wasn't there. The, you know, desire to be great, the keeping your head, you know, screwed on straight wasn't there for whatever reason. But I mean, as far as just in-ring work, Marty Jannetty was just so good. So him and Angle had a great match. And then of course, Marty, you know, and Sean joined up to form the Rockers for one night only. They came out to their theme music, but they did not wear the Rockers garb. I guess Marty did, because that's all he ever wore in his career. But right. I would have loved to have seen Sean come out in a Rockers outfit.
So here was a review on that match, actually, that I just
found. Angle Jannetty one.
Yes. Okay. Holy crap, I did not expect the match to be booked this well. The first portion of the match was very well done with lots of great chain wrestling and smart counters. Then it went into smart groundwork from Angle while Jannetty fought off every chance he could. Then it evolved once more into a very heated exchange of moves and counters until Angle was able to hook the grapevine ankle lock, forcing Jannetty to tap out after doing everything he could to escape. One of my favorite TV matches so far in 2005, and if anything, this shows Jannetty in his mid-40s still has fire in him to be a good performer in the WWE.
It's just a shame they could have never figured anything out. I mean, you know, the Rockers feud should have been excellent, right? Because, I mean, it was great. I mean, how he turned on him was great. That should have been an awesome feud. Then they should have figured out something with Marty, you know? What could he have done? I mean, he could have been, you know, an up-and-coming IC contender as a babyface. Maybe they eventually turn him heel. Maybe him and Sean even form a little bit of an alliance, you know, as heels. I don't know. But it's a shame that we were never able to really see Marty even come close to his full potential. So now Sean going back up for another elbow drop. Again, both guys just beating the shit. Kurt Angle's bleeding out of his mouth. I mean, this is just a great match. Elbow drop. Not sure if Sean has ever beat anyone with that elbow drop, but he didn't even go for the cover. He's in the corner now. Looks like he might be tuning up the band.
So, and this is too, I'm reading up real quick what's happening. This actually says that Jannetty by himself said he was offered a contract after that Rockers match.
Yeah.
And so, no, yeah. And so it was nice and a $500,000, Jannetty stated, which who knows if it was actually that much, but he said, and then the quote was, then I had some legal problems come up. And so, which was the domestic disturbance. So Kurt got blocking the sweet chin, got it locked in. Here we go.
Catches him, ankle lock.
You ref is a little too into it for me. I don't know about you, but he's
you're right, and I hate the over acting refs. Okay, like he's I never noticed. I don't even know who this guy is, but he's just way too animated. You know who does that? I think a lot of the AEW refs do it.
The AEW refs, right? He is like right on top of Michaels too. Like he needs
you
to.
You shouldn't even notice a referee's in the ring. But instead, he's like right there. He's overacting. It looks terrible. Yeah, I may have not noticed that if you didn't point it out. But now that you do, it's actually driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's been driving me nuts like for the last couple of
minutes. They have to find a camera angle where they can see Sean without seeing his asshole. Look, because he's blocking the camera. Kurt.
Yep.
All right, so Michaels gets to the ring. Angle had the ankle lock in for, gosh, almost 2 minutes. You got to think that Michaels' ankle is going to be bugging him now. Angle's looking for the Olympic slam. Blood coming out of his mouth. Yeah. And here we go. Is he going to hit it? Oh, Michaels reverses it. Sunset flip. Ankle lock again. Poof.
But again, roll up. One, there you go. Two, trying to get almost. It. Yep. Angle just dominating at this point. These guys, we're finally cooking at this point. Blocking it again, the sweet chin music.
Boom, angle slam. Everyone's standing. You see this? That's got to be it. One, two.
Nope. The ref fucked that one up. He definitely went down for three. Yep.
And look, not everyone was against Angle here. You know, he had a lot of fans in the crowd. I mean, both these guys were just so likable. The thing with Angle is when you're that good in the ring, it's tough to be a heel, right?
Yeah.
How about this? Putting the straps back on.
Super rare. Time, yeah.
First time in his career he'd ever done this. Now he takes them off. He's trying to take them back.
You got
to
get psyched up. Yeah. Kurt, here we go. So this is one of the big spots too. Climbing the top rope. Moonsault missing it.
Misses. Yeah. Jeez.
Incredible spot though. Another one didn't see him do it very often, but when he broke it out, yep.
How good is his moonsault?
It's weird because, like, and they're showing the replay of it right now. Like, he's got full, like, that is full extension, full rotation. Like, motherfucker looks good. Like, plain and simple. Like, he did it. Yep.
The first time he ever did a moonsault was in the ring during an actual match.
I still, like, you know, some of the women do it better, like Io Shirai and Charlotte's is pretty good too. But that one, like, that was a 9 for me. Yeah, that was a 9 for me. It's up there. Absolutely.
Sean going back to the top rope. Looks like we're going to get another elbow drop. I mean, angle slam from avalanche. The second rope. Yep. Are you kidding me? That's got to be it. 1, 2. Kicks out.
The avalanche ankle slam doesn't finish him. Yep. Sean just dead. Shit. Yep. So you've had multiple finishing attempts. You've had Sean not being able to hit the sweet chin to this point. You've got ankle locks. You got avalanche angle slams. Like, you got the referee just fucking around. Like, yep. So Angle upset with himself. Michaels is dead. Like, not, you know, just laying there, not even trying to sell by, like, kind of moving. And so Angle pissed off now, yelling at Michaels right in his face. Michaels' eyes aren't even open. He's just like, Angle's just yelling at him, losing his mind. Yep. Oh, but messing around. And Michaels finding, oh, what a great shot with just the blood coming out of Angle's mouth. Michaels finds the strength to deliver the sweet chin music, though. Good stuff.
Wow.
I would not ask you to do it in the moment here, Tom, but I think what we need to hear from you is eventually your top five Michaels match. Would you put this match in your top five of Michaels matches? Oh, being the HB Can fan that you are. I know that's a loaded question. I apologize for putting you on the spot. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I've never thought of or ranked my top HBK matches ever.
Yep. This is a project because you got to think about it. You got to
say, I don't want to say anything. Man, in the moment, gosh, this feels like top five, but there's about 15 matches. I'm going to tell you are top five. I'm going to have to really put some thought into that.
Tom, we'll get back to you. Maybe our first article we publish. Yeah. There you go.
No way that he's going to be able to.
One, two. Nope. An Angle barely getting his shoulder up. Yep.
You know, I still, man, the first Sean Taker match is still the best of all time for Sean.
I'm sorry, which one?
The first Taker match.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I was there and I'm just like, that's the greatest match I've ever seen in my life. That was just incredible.
So yeah, both guys just dead in the ring. Yep.
Absolutely shot. Michaels couldn't get him with sweet chin music. I mean, God, I mean, look at him. I mean, this is what solidified Mr. WrestleMania. 19 against Jericho, 20 against Benoit and Triple H, 21 against Angle. You had the McMahon match, you had the Flair match, you had the Cena match, you had the two Taker matches.
And so here we go. That's his
comeback.
Yep.
That's his comeback. I mean, I'm just saying those matches I just said, that's the after retirement, my back is shot. Those are the WrestleMania matches he had. And they were all excellent. I mean, this one obviously stole the show. I think the Jericho match stole the show. Both Taker matches. The McMahon match was fun. The triple threat in the Garden main event. That was the best match on that show. Jeez, look at him.
So Kurt just breaking it, just incredibly locked in. Michael's just dragging toward the rope. Angle dragging him back to the center of the ring. And Michael's losing his mind as he's got it locked in. Oh, what a sell job. Like, incredible. And the ref getting in the way. Yep. Oh, and drag back down to the mat. And Kurt just has it locked in. But you figure if this is a 25 minute match, he's been in the ankle lock for about at least 5 minutes. Yeah.
But it's been entertaining. Like, it's realistic. And, like, you know, and they keep countering the ankle lock. And now, you know, Angle has the, I guess, on his back kind of locked in, double locked in, which is, you know, a different way of applying it.
I'm wondering if there's a reason we don't know who this ref is because he didn't last very long after this.
That's a good point. Those SmackDown ref shirts were hideous too. The blue polo. Ugh.
It just stands out.
Yeah. Give me a traditional ref shirt. This has got to be it. Oh, no, it's not.
Faking, yep. Didn't quite get there.
I mean, he has it on the camera angle. Oh, there you go. There's your tap out.
Yep. Finally.
What a match. What a fucking match. All right, Jeff. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Well,
just, you know, great performance. There's just no other way to really to say it, plain and simple.
It's excellent.
You know, just how so he... Yeah, you know, just out there, like the in-ring work is damn near perfect. Like, you know, from the holds and like, you know, just the selling, like you this is one of those where you put two guys in the ring that know what they're doing and you just get magic sometimes. And I think that's what we're just seeing is you just got some magic. Yeah.
So Angle leaves first and then HBK is going to get the standing ovation. So, you know, it's just one of those matches where it doesn't matter who won or lost. They both come out bigger stars and nothing wrong with that. So just fantastic. So there really wasn't much after this match, right?
Yeah. So talking the aftermath, kind of what happened here, you actually had Angle defeating Eddie Guerrero. There was actually a tournament to determine the number one contender for the WWE Championship. And so Angle beating Eddie at that point, but there's just some nonsense in this one. You had that, you know, Angle and JBL again. So kind of in this, you know, this card as well too, interfered in a tournament match between Booker and the Big Show. Angle really kind of feuding with Booker for quite a while at this point. You had him actually, as I said, kind of harassing Charmel. There was a weird, super weird segment with him wanting to have bestiality sex with Charmel. It's just really kind of weird stuff. You know, kind of him talking about being, getting his privates fondled and things like that. And so it kind of went a weird angle, but this is just kind of some of the stories they were going at that point. But for Angle, this led to a Judgment Day match. excuse me. So that was late May of this year or that year, you know, Booker actually beating Angle and then losing again in a rematch just a couple of weeks later, which was just on SmackDown, which ended their feud. But then you had these two actually, their feud resuming, actually, these guys kind of going back at it a little bit because Michaels drafted to Raw at this point. And so Angle being drafted to Raw is so what it was. So these guys having a match at Vengeance, which was that the following pay-per-view after that. So just two pay-per-views after they had this match, it kind of went back at it, but that was really it. Like Angle's lost to Michaels on that one. And then you had the start of the Kurt Angle Invitational. And so that was when he had the feud with, kind of Eugene not submitting, and then them having the match at SummerSlam where Angle defeating Eugene. It was over his medal. It was just weird. That was a weird storyline at that point. And so as we said, it's just at the build and just at the start of this one, you had Michaels, though, that match with Muhammad Hussain, but then him, it was actually the night after this one, Muhammad Hussain and Daivari assaulting Michaels. And so there was a handicap match between them. Kind of Bischoff at the time was general manager, and so you know, refusing to allow him to have a handicap, or refusing to let him have a handicap match against Hassan and Daivari. And so this is when Hulk Hogan came back, actually. So you had Hogan and Michaels at this point. And so yeah, just kind of having that. And so, and this is, of course, where as well, they had teamed actually a couple times. They took on Carlito and Kurt Angle. So there was a tag match where part of this, I say, feud as well. And they were doing that. And so, you know, just interesting, in which I say the not the culmination, but just one of the feud itself was kind of over, but they kept having matches. And so it was actually later that 2005 where the two of them had a 30-man Iron Man match. It was a 2-2 draw. And so an Angle walked out. And so they had just, you know, the feud itself never really like, I would say there wasn't like this super long, like, you know, story to what they were trying to tell. They just had a lot of matches, be it Hogan was involved and it was a tag match, or, you know, you had this Iron Man match, kind of a throwback to some of the stuff they did with the ladder match. Just they were like, as I've said it on the show before, they were just kind of in each other's universes for a while and had some different matches.
Yeah, you know, you see Kurt win this match and you see just how awesome he was. Not that we didn't already know that, but it's just hard to imagine they didn't do more with him after this, you know. And I think part of it was the behind the scenes issues and challenges he was having, but it's a shame, man. You know, you see, you watch that match, you're like, well, gosh, they should both be world champions, and neither held a world championship again.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Angle may have. I'm not sure if he did again after that, but you get my point. Is it's just
well, and this also proves too, I think, like, because you and I have said it a lot on the show, you more than me, like, you don't need the belt for everything. This didn't need a belt. Like, just put on a great match and fans are going to watch it and appreciate it and think it's great. And so, you know, you don't always need to throw that on someone to have a good match, plain and simple. So
agreed.
So where we're at on this one, you had Kurt was number 5 in the PWI, Sean at 34. This was the match of the year for 2005. 411 Mania on this one. Again, so this is widely considered one of the greatest WrestleMania matches in history. It's for good reason. I love every second of this match. Kurt Angle was absolutely vicious in his assault on Shawn Michaels' bad back. The Angle slam into the ring post was sick, and each time Angle targeted it, you felt Shawn's pain. Shawn's desperation came out in things like a low blow and a springboard splash onto a table. There were some incredible counters in this. You think they had wrestled dozens of times before, but it was their first meeting, which just seems crazy, but it was the first time they locked up. So the drama got ramped up late as Michael survived an ankle lock, Angle slam, and avalanche Angle slam. It frustrated Angle to the point where he fell victim to a glorious sweet chin music. The final 5 to 10 minutes are some of the best wrestling you'll find anywhere. Angle locking in the ankle lock, the ankle lock to the point where Michael's kicking him away wasn't enough to break. It was just spectacular. It just felt different. Michael's fought for as long as he could, but he was trapped and had to tap out after 27 minutes. Incredible pacing and tremendous action. Two of the best in the history, just putting on a classic on the biggest stage. 5 stars. And so, hey, kind of getting into this. So it's funny because there was 2 pieces in the Observer newsletter, which you'll have an opinion on, Tom. I'm just going to warn you right now. And so, good things, enough good things cannot be said about the 2 best matches on the show. The ladder match, which we talked about, which was awesome, and the HBK Kurt Angle match, which, despite being worked by a man with a bad knee and another man with no arms, amazingly lived up to expectations. It wasn't the best match of all time. It takes a special kind of emotion to earn a title like that, and 1 month's worth of hype can't achieve it, but it might have been the best match in the history of WrestleMania. And so he kind of goes on, and his write-up, it's almost like he gets like an erection as the match is going on. I'm just going to call it what it is, and how he kind of describes it. And he keeps going on and on. You know, he teased tapping forever and the place went crazy. Finally, he tapped and it was over. And I was so happy. I nearly wept with joy. The best part was in the crowd popped huge for the tap, then saying, "You suck." This was one awesome match. Awesome, awesome, awesome. A beautiful example of everything that is great about professional wrestling. Sean got a huge standing ovation afterwards, but there was still some noticeable boos. There are people who will argue that this is now the greatest match in WrestleMania history. 5 stars.
Hmm.
Thoughts?
Okay.
Go for it.
So not much I haven't already said. I've got this at a 9.5.
Okay.
And Jeff, the only thing that keeps it from a 10 is really just the stage and the stakes. So the only thing I would do that could be better about this is if it was for a world championship and it was the main event, you know, maybe, and it was in an arena, right? I mean, I just think, like, you know, like the things I've given tens to, typically are like that. Like I think a 10 is, you know, Hogan Andre because of the stage and the significance and the visuals. So the only thing, again, that keeps this from being perfect to me is there wasn't the world title, you know, that, but that's really it. I know it's like, well, why, what does the title matter? It's just a prop. I get it, but you know what I mean? It's just like, this thing needed to somehow be bigger, and it was just a personal difference for a few months, kind of interpromotional dream match type stuff, and it delivered. It was incredible, and I think it's, you know, as good of a match as you can have. I just wish there was a little something more there, like, hey, it closed out the show and they hugged at the end and one guy was champion and that's it. It was great though.
I'm going to give it a 9 for almost and really the same reasons as you. I think that the, like, why you and I, you know, over the course of this show have seen, you know, cards too, are like, why didn't they put, like, you know, certain matches last, or why did they put this match here? Like, there were still 3 matches after this one. And I think that's why, you know, we've got the benefit of WrestleMania being on 2 nights now, which I hope they never go back to 1 night. I know it's tough to attend it that way, but, you know, I think that just for the pacing of certain things, 8 hours, 9, 8.5 hours. Not, it's just so much wrestling. And so, and by the end, like, you know, and you've said, and we've had fans, and Tom appreciates it, reaching out like, hey, how do I get tickets? Or how do I do this? Or how do I do that? Like, you know, it's one of those where the ebb and flow of it, like, this match was incredible and you still have 3 matches. And the shitty thing about it is then the match immediately after this one was a fucking sumo match. Like, why did they think that was how it should be? I get the championship should be the last one, so I'm with you on that. But at the same time, I'm with you in the sense that yes, the championship should be last and there should be the stakes to it. But I also think that this match didn't need that. And so, you know, who knows how it could have been booked. You know, it was a very short build, but you don't, like, we've seen it multiple times on this show and over the course of, like, you don't need this gigantic, massive plan for why a match is going to be good or bad. Like, sometimes, like, just let them go out there and wrestle. And sure as shit, like, that's all these guys needed, was to just go out there and wrestle, and they were perfectly fine. And so, you know, it's just the approach to take sometimes. And so you're at a 9.5. I'm at a 9 for kind of, you know, similar reasons. But I think because I didn't say it, like, the just technical aspect of the match was, like, you know, beyond comparison. Like, these guys went out there and did a clinic of how it, like, a slow burn building into this just incredible match by the end of it, that sometimes, like, you know, my brother and I joke, like, some, you know, sometimes you just got to let the stew simmer for a little bit. And sure enough, like, once it gets cooking, like, that's all it takes. And this one was cooking pretty good by the end.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think you could pick any number of guys now, but it's like, how hard is it to just say, I'm great, you're great, but we're going to see who's better, you know? And you think of, like, there's so many guys, you know, like an AJ Styles and a Seth Rollins and a Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan. I'm just thinking of some current stars, you know. Obviously there's a number in AEW as well, where let's not overthink this. Mm-hmm. Hey, we both have massive egos. We both think we're the best in the world. We're going to settle this, you know, and along the way, we're going to cut some promos on each other and we may take shots at each other based on our past or whatever. Right. But it's not that difficult to do this. And, this just goes to show you why we can't have more of these. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. I'm glad we covered this one. You know, happy WrestleMania week to everybody. That's what it boils down to. It's exciting. You know, I think this was a good one to cover this week, especially start your Monday with it. And then lots of wrestling this week, plain and simple. That's what it boils down to.
You got it. I'm pumped. So this was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully, like, we got the same feeling on Saturday and Sunday, but let's send them home happy tonight.
Well, I'm a sexy Tom. That's a sexy Jeff.
Damn right.
Appreciate you listening as always to The Payoff.